So welcome to the CPS Configuration Persistence Service team meeting for October 16th here. We just passed the DDF yesterday, which I thought went really well. I'm still writing in who's here. So, and Neve is here. Felipe. Claudio. And I think that's it. 2, 4, 6.
Ted.
No.
Missing Ted.
Oh, Ted, right. There we go. All right. And let's see. Neve wanted to talk about the interface, I think. And we don't have any other meetings for presentations coming up. And, oh, I guess we should talk about the PTL election, which has passed, which Toyin announced. I think I saw an email from in the past week.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much more to say.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think everything
Yeah.
is congratulations.
Thank you. The only thing I would say is there was, because we decided to send to everybody the invite basically we had on those two lists, and that was 17 people. Now only 8 voted in the end. So, but yeah, there's not much we can do about that, I
Yeah,
suppose.
that's fine. So let's see. I guess we have to do some follow-up about being an independent component. What else? Maybe go to the TSC and hopefully they'll talk about that then, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we do. From what Catherine was saying, when we asked at the TSC that was interrupted, we have, I think, 2 weeks now from when it's announced to get the tooling set up. So that means the repo and
Okay.
CI infrastructure
I see,
and
right.
all that stuff. So
Right.
that's going to be busy time, and we know because that we had to go through that when we were chatting with Dan to get how do we integrate with the within the SDNC repo, and then in order for Tuan to be able to actually commit code quickly and easily as we're establishing the project, we went to Nordics.
Nordics, yeah, we set up the branch in Nordics. Yeah, just
So
on that.
it's that whole effort that it's essentially going to be duplicated, but in a much shorter time frame.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
do we still need to wait on an official approval? So, what is the next step, or can we start asking now? Like, can we start
I
the
think we
process
should
asking?
start asking
I would
straight
start
away.
asking because we were approved 3 days ago, and I don't think we should wait another 7 days until the TSC. I think that at the TSC, I would expect them to say, "Great, congratulations!" And we didn't get any zeros or negative. And the only hesitancy at first was somebody was asking about, "Did you have your the next steps thing in the next steps thing in place?" Which after they saw this, I pointed them to this. They voted plus one. So, okay. Any other things you want to add to the agenda?
We had briefly talked about engaging with use cases, and I think they're
Yeah, they're
there.
here.
So the SAN PCI, the PCI, yeah, I'd like to. We had, I mean, you have it down specifically around the service registry, but
I'll
there
do
was
thanks.
presentations made at the DDF, and I would like to go through that on two grounds. I mean, one is to ensure that what we're creating is what people are expecting. And the second one is, can we help those use cases use us to better effect? So it should be a collaborative, symbiotic thing. And I think we should engage with and right now, SAN, they were making good presentations on the DDF. So
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
that I'm not 100% sure that we're completely aligned. So it would be good to follow through on that.
And just so people know, if you, in case you missed the presentation, I put it in a bunch of different places. So, the presentation is, I put it here in our I should be here in the here in the DDF. It's on the project page.
I think I could not find the recording there. It was only on the DDF page. Or did
the recording is also on the DDF page. It's also on the main project portal page. If you go here.
Okay, maybe I didn't check there. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't upload it because it takes a little bit of time to
upload
it.
Sure.
But I didn't upload it. The audio I loaded in a few places. Yeah, so if you go to our project, if you go up from here, from the project page to, do you have a link to our project page? Let me put it in the chat.
Yeah, this is
the R8 project page, yeah. So from the R8 project page, if you just go up to here, it's also on the virtual DDF thing itself, but here's the, this is the place to learn about all of the use cases. So, Zhu, I don't know. You gave a really great presentation at the PlugFest. I don't know if I asked Tracy if she had a link to that, and she never responded back. But if you have a link to that, you might want to add it here to the software upgrade, not the actual. Or you know, this is I think your latest slide, but you can correct that if you want to update it. But I didn't have a link to the actual presentation. I don't know if you do. If you do, you might want to upload it here.
I don't have the link for the presentation.
Okay.
You mean the record, right?
Yeah, the recording. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Okay. All right. But anyway, for the CPS, it's here. I did try to, everywhere I could find it, I tried to update our the C and PS to take out the ampersand and change persistency to persistence. So pretty much everywhere I think I've hit. So let's start with Neve's point here. Neve, did you want to share something? Did you want to?
If you just want to open the page at the issues underscore place,
sure.
Left a link to it.
Yeah. I hope I got the right camel. Okay. Well, you know what?
It's the right one.
I should put our issues page here on the R8 page too. Hold on, let me do that. Okay, I'm just gonna go to that page here. It's in the R7 page. That's why I need to put it in the R8 one, because that's where I go to now. All right. Let me just do that to save time here. All right. Okay. There's a point on the interfaces, I guess, down here.
Yeah, if you just want to click the link there.
Okay. This one?
Yeah.
Oops, Okay. Yep.
Okay, so we've developed this page to establish a pattern and naming conventions for our interface. It's not finished yet. So if you just want to scroll down to the API definitions table, maybe. Okay, yeah. So here are all the operations we have defined for our interface. So each one will start with the prefix for API CPS version 1. So the first one in the table is to create a module set. So we have our post operation, going to take in a database ID and a YANG file. Then we have another operation to read all modules in the store. That's pretty straightforward. And then two, three, and four will be the same URL, but they have offered optional parameters, query parameters. So there's namespace and revision, which you can also use to read modules within the store. Then we're going to have an operation to delete the given namespace. If you want to scroll down a bit. So this is our anchor persistence. So the first one to create a new anchor, we're going to have a JSON object that would allow you to create an anchor in the data space. Then read all anchors with the associated attributes with the given anchor ID and data space ID, and delete an anchor point with the given anchor ID and data space.
I need to interrupt you for a second. We haven't explained to people on the call really what anchors are. Because we've been discussing this and we have a schema to store this data, but we haven't really shared that with the wider community. Some people on the call are aware of it, but not everybody. So the anchor or anchor points are really it's a bit like the root, but we want to voice that word from because it has an XML, it has other meanings as well. It's the starting point for any instance of a model data tree. So the anchor is where it will be living, where it will be starting. So before you can create an instance, you have to create an anchor. So these REST endpoints are about those anchor points. I just wanted to add that.
Okay, thank you, Tom. So then reading all anchors. So if we go on to the next section, which is node persistence, maybe Tuan, do you want to say a little bit before I just read through?
No, it's fine. As long as, node here, we have to make clear, it's not a radio node or a network node. It's a single node in the data tree.
Okay, thank you. So create a node for the given anchor in the given data space. The node can have children. Their children will also be persisted as separate nodes in the system. And that's we'll do that by using a file. Then in the request body, we intend to have an XPath. So we're going to use that to create a node given an anchor for the given data space. And similar for 11, 12, 13, except we will have, we're going to use a schema node identifier. So get all relevant nodes given a schema node identifier for the given data space. That's all. Does anyone have any comments or anything they'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to stress the purpose of this is just to kind of, this is by far complete. This is just to get an indication of our naming convention and the structure of our REST interface. We don't expect to complete all of these REST endpoints during the POC timeframe. But it's, as I said, it's just we want to have a clear direction which way our REST interface is evolving. We're using OpenAPI, and if maybe you can explain a little bit more about that, the way we're using this, the contract first now, this is using the latest ONAP standards to publish this interface as well. From this meeting, we just want to get if the direction of this interface is in the right direction, if that's okay, that's what we're looking for.
One question, has this been split and is created on Jara or some word track? So if someone want to contribute or help, it's over there, right? So, but it's not split in multiple parts, right? Okay.
I'm not sure if I understand your questions.
It's what? All together tracking one single track, single task, right? This one.
So the way we did it is we have a task to the documentation, and then we have another task we're going to do a model driven approach. So first we're going to implement our YAML file that will define the interface, and then we're going to generate it from there.
Okay.
First task.
It might help if somebody sent in the chat the link to the Jira backlog.
I'm just trying to get that. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, there is an active community from the development side. So as Tuan mentioned yesterday, there's three full-time and three part-time folks working on this, and they're tracking within the CCSDK, I think it's the CCSDK project, a whole bunch of stories that cover exactly this. There are meetings that are not quite daily in terms of the development process, and people are welcome to join. There's also a Confluence page that describes or is the home for that design effort. So it's running a little bit in parallel to this meeting at the moment.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
So I don't know if Tuan's put it in the chat yet.
I'll put in the Java backlog. I'll also put the developer's homepage now in a second.
Cool.
Hey, I have a question about the API. Because I was working with Shankar on the original motivation for everything. It was the SAN PCI optimization project. And one of the things they want to be able to do is actually find all the physical cell IDs for a given ENOD or something like that. So you're actually able to do that if you're able to specify a particular position in the tree. You could get every instance of a particular field, following from there to every possible branching point to the existence of the field. Do you have something like that? Because that's actually something that they were really relying on.
Yeah, no, that's, if you go back to the REST API, if you scroll down, it's part of what we kind of call the queries, although they're not really implemented as queries. So our first approach to that will be using XPath expression. If you scroll down to the green part at the bottom there, Ben. Yeah. So if you look at number 11, 12, and 13 there, so they will fulfill those kind of queries. So yeah, basically any query that you can think of, you can express in an XPath expression. So that's the first thing we hope to be able to support. Well, if we build it up, of course, we won't be able to support every possible XPath expression from the start. But I think it's a good way of supporting different types of queries. So number 11 is there. It's what we call a containment query, where you specify one anchor ID. And in this case, you could think of a named node. So this is where the overlap with AA and AI would come in. So ANI would actually provide some information for these anchors, like the name of the node, or maybe the coordinates, that kind of information. So once you have the anchor ID, you could then just within that node look for any XPath expression, like you say, cells or whatever. Now, number 12 there is leaving out the anchor ID. And there you could find all cells that fulfill certain criteria across the whole data space. The data space is, I realize now we didn't maybe explain that either, but it's like a group of models that kind of belong together. So the what do we call it, the mirror service, the XNF proxy, that might consist out of one or two data spaces that contain all the different models for all the different network nodes. And so, yeah, one application would typically work with one or a few data spaces, and it limits its queries within that data space, so you don't mix up data for completely different applications. Okay. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does.
Thanks.
Can I have a question as well? Maybe it's not relevant here, I'm not sure, but I mean, what I understand, all the configuration data is stored here from the network. And if there is a change in the configuration data, it will be updated in the CPS storage. How do you get information about updates?
But the function of CPS is a kind of how do you say, it's more passive. It can store any type of information. I think it's the XNF proxy that I mentioned earlier that is responsible for the type of use cases that you're talking about. So CPS is just the infrastructure to store any modeled data, and it can handle model updates and that kind of stuff. So, but only from the modeling point of view. So this is to get away from fixed schemas that have to be changed. So the whole idea is that you can provide models and you can provide data to it, but other applications will have to use this service for use cases that you mentioned. That's not the function of CPS itself.
Okay. So just to clarify as well, because this is confusing, the CPS is a project, and part of that project is what we're calling CPS, is the core part of the CPS, which is how do we actually persist data in a model-driven way. but there were a whole bunch of other things that were in the CPS project space, and those you can read in the project spec. And one of them were we've now called or begun to call the XNF proxy. Okay. So the XNF proxy is the functionality that we see as communicating with the node to actually pull its model in the runtime directly from the XNF, and then push it into the core CPS so that it can persist data. So there's multiple things that reside within the CPS project. And we just need to be careful because the term is unfortunately a little bit overloaded. So the XNF proxy would be part of that. At least in the R8 timeframe, I can see that we would build on top of, unless someone actually wants to resource creating the XNF proxy in the R8 timeframe, and I guess we'll have to eventually. But short of that, we will, I expect, to be reusing the existing path for updates to come via the standard VES events through DMAP and then into the CNPS. So there's different paths that could be used to create the updates, and that comes down to who owns the data and exactly how and where we are in terms of the implementation. In terms of the overall architecture, the component that we envisage to do that or to take that responsibility is the XNF proxy.
Okay, thank you.
Could I also... go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Ben. Hey, Tuan, would you be able to share the XSD, the XML schema document later? I mean, not now, but later. I just wanted to do some reverse engineering to generate... the UML class diagrams using Papyrus.
Sorry, the schema for what exactly? I missed that.
I mean the schema for your model, no?
For the database.
Yeah.
That we're using. Yeah, we have that actually published. I'll share a link in a second.
Okay.
It's a very very simple schema, Camel. But okay. The intention is that it shouldn't change unless the Yang language changes. So the Yang language has got just a couple of different primitives in it, and we're able to handle them. Unless somebody adds a new primitive to the Yang language, we should not need to change that schema. It should be very, very stable.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like anything that you'd see in a Yang model. So if someone is describing a cell, you wouldn't really see that in the schema because... the database itself doesn't care. It's just data. It's the user that needs to understand, okay, I've given you this Yang data and you've persisted. I don't care how. But when I ask for it back, I want to see that Yang model again. I want to see that Yang structure. So that's what the CPS is doing. It's kind of flattening the data so that it can store it in a way that doesn't require any runtime impact to cater for a new model or an upgraded model.
So, I just shared. Sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Yep. So it won't change. So it's not going to be particularly useful to you. I mean, it's there.
Oh, right.
But I don't see that you're going to get a huge value out of it because the value is going to come from the Yang models that the different applications want to store data for.
Okay. I thought. I mean, it's something like similar to ANAI because I used to do reverse engineering in the ANAI schema. So I generate my class diagrams for PNF or for any parts because you know ANAI schema is very huge. So,
yep. And that effectively will come as more and more applications want to store more and more information in the CNPS. Each of them will have to contribute or have to ask using the API that Niamh just showed. They'll have to store model sets that describe that, and it's those model sets that you want to parse.
I see. One more question, Edmund. I mean, what you, if I understood what you are trying to explain, because what I see the Yang models, let's say for a device, if you upgrade a device, the Yang models, some of the in Yang model structure, some of the leaves, for instance, of the a container or any gets deprecated. So how that will be reflected in CNPS?
Ah, that's an absolutely excellent question. And the answer is...
I've seen this.
Yep. The answer is we don't have an answer fully yet. We have a placeholder in the page that linked to this one, the issues and assumptions page, issues, assumptions and decisions. One is model upgrade. So it's not answered. It's not ready to be answered. Upgrade of models, that one. So it's just basically an empty page as of yet. Okay. But we will start to get into things like backward compatibility, and how do you know if something is backward compatibility, and how do you preserve backward compatibility? So if you get a new version of a model, can you seamlessly swap that model out? Is it only additions, or is there information that was deprecated or changed in a way that makes the data no longer valid? In which case we'd have to stop it, because you can't upgrade that model. That's essentially, you have to copy it out, do some sort of a transformation, and then store the data again under a new model if it's not compatible. If it is compatible, so we have to get into those kind of conversations, and we haven't done so yet. But it's an excellent question.
Yeah. I was just going to add to that, Tony. There is the schema has been designed with that in mind, and there is things in place already. And the main idea is that any bit of data, it knows what version of the model was used for that particular type of data. And these use cases that you see here in this API are actually related to that, because that's what an anchor point contains, for instance. It contains the version of the model that was used to create that particular data. Now, the upgrade scenarios, how exactly we're going to deal with that, yes, as Tony says, there's still a lot of work to be done. But the generic schema is able to store the version information of models. So it's prepared for that. That's the way I would put it.
Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you.
I had also a question or a point. I was curious, for me, I think it might be good just to have maybe a sense about, so node persistence is really essentially create and read operations, right? For
on data, yeah.
Of nodes. Right, that seems to be
of
the
node instance data, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the anchor persistence is essentially...
So it's an internal thing. So when you look at Yang models, it's not mandatory that they have a single root. And we wanted to be able to associate all the data that relates to a model set to a single thing. So we needed to kind of invent something. So that's one reason why we have the anchor point. And the second reason we have an anchor point is because we need to be able to associate the data, as Tuan just said, with the models that give rules to how it should be constrained, validated, and represented when somebody queries it. So we need to be able to preserve that association. So that doesn't belong in the model that came from an XNF. So we have to put something that's on top of it. So this is kind of housekeeping stuff for the CPS. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't exist in the model that came from the XNF, but we have to have it because we're going to be storing lots of different models and data from lots of different instances. So we needed these constructs in order to keep that separation and maintain the link between the data and the model that defined it.
So it's sort of like metadata used from CPS management, basically, models.
It is, but it actually, when you get into the database schema, it's a concrete object. It's a concrete row in the database schema.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that sounds like it's something important enough that maybe it should be in the project description, just so people aren't totally confused by that concept when they run across it. I don't know what you think.
I think when we get a little bit further into the API that and we get to start having user document, that's where this will come out. I don't necessarily know that it's going to be helpful to keep.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's fine, as long as it's somewhere.
Oh, it has to be. Absolutely. Otherwise, it's not usable.
Buried in a issues and discussions page. I think it's an important enough concept that I think
it's huge. Yeah.
Kind of at a higher level thing, yeah.
It was an enjoyable meeting where we went back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
One meeting? You meant five meetings.
I collapsed them all.
Can I ask an additional question for anchors? You just said that anchors are associated to model sets, but the description to the right seems to imply that an anchor is actually associated to a module.
We have to be careful with the wording. No, you're right. It's a single module.
So it's not a model
set. So you can upload. No, and so we have to be very careful with between those words, and I easily mix them up myself as well.
My
so
apologies.
A model is typically a collection of modules. So in the Yang language, they use the term module, and one file can contain one or more modules. So in our API, because typically this is what an end user has, so he has a file that contains many modules, and we can upload that and store that in a data space. But one anchor point, one instance of one node will only use one unique module to refer to that. Now the module itself might internally import other modules and use many other modules, but the starting point is a single module.
Okay, thank you.
And then finally, model storage is our commands that relate to these modules, right? I mean, creating a...
Yeah, I have to probably highlight this especially the very first, the idea that CPS stores its own, that's the problem. It doesn't own the modules or the models. So this is a temporary solution for the POC, really. In reality, the applications, and this is related to the discussions you're having about registries and owners of models, we envision a separate SPI on those applications to be able to provide the modules or the model sets, or whatever you want to call it. This is very much a temporary, maybe that whole block is really specific to the POC, until we have this registry and we have other applications actually providing the models themselves. This is a temporary solution.
Okay. And also, all of what we just talked about relates to this API, doesn't it?
The REST API, correct. So there's going to be a separate Java API, which I also want to kind of flesh out and document a bit before we, as opposed to just coding away, I think we need to have an overview of what our Java API is going to look at. But what we're looking at today is an overview, and I just want to remind people of the goal here is just to get a broad agreement of the structure of our REST API, that it is in line with common owner practices, and that it is it's a clear API that is extensible for the purpose that we want to use it for.
So I guess what I'm leading to is the REST API relates to this point 5, right? So should this topic be topic area 5 here?
Yes, we did actually suggest that. Yeah, you're correct, should be 5.
Okay, great.
I had one, just a thought here, or if you look at it from design phase or SDC design, let's say when you onboard, you onboard your package, whether it's a CSR package, for instance, and I include a bunch of Yang models or right. Yang's file in that CSR package. When I distribute to the runtime, does this goes to CPS as well, or how this is going to be handled?
Now, that's the component that Tony mentioned earlier, XNF proxy or maybe some other component that will handle that. And as I just mentioned, the CPS will not be responsible for models themselves. So there will be other applications, and that still need to work out specifically for that use case. But yeah, okay. The general idea is that there is a registry, or there is a mechanism of announcing these models are there, making the system aware that they exist. But I think it's going to be mainly the XNF proxy application in this case that's going to handle that particular use case. When what do you call it, the onboarding use case?
Okay.
I'm not sure it's just me. I'm getting very scrambled.
Yeah, that was some background noise, I think. Okay. All right. Is there any other points or thoughts or questions on this?
I just have a question about this. I mean, if you don't have this XNF proxy, can you use this component, or do you need this as well? I mean, to get the use case working.
To get the SAN use case working, I don't think we're going to need it, because I think we'll be able to use the existing pathway from the network functions via the standard VES events. Ideally, it would be good if we had the XNF proxy. It would be much better if we had. Yeah, but can you still use it without? The answer is yes, but not as effectively as if we had it.
But no models will be stored, I guess, or what does...
Well, any application can store.
Okay.
Application can store a model. It's up to them if they want to make use of the CPS.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, great. So let's move on. So I have been attending, by the way, I've been attending the past few weeks the SAN use case teams, and I helped them kind of review their DDF presentation and stuff. Obviously there's some mentioning, of course, in their, if you went to their presentation yesterday about CPS. So maybe we also need to, their meeting happens right after this one. So maybe we need to get some other people to also attend that meeting to sort of get on their agenda and talk about and bring them up to speed relating to, relating to the project. I did do a quick presentation at their call on the registry service, just a really high level overview, but we probably need to do more as well.
That would be good. I'm not sure how that meeting works because I've not attended it, but do we put it on the agenda for next week, or
actually, I'll be here next week, so there, it depends. So sometimes you can just, sometimes they have free time and sometimes they don't. So it just depends on kind of what's going on that week. So last week you wouldn't have been able to because they were reviewing the DDF slides. They often have kind of walk-in topics. So you are often able to just go and present something. But sometimes, and I'm sure that'll change based on also the M drops. So as we're in RC0 right now,
it'll be hectic.
If we were right at the point of a drop, I think you have less of a chance to kind of come in with a walk-in topic. If we were sort of at the start of a drop, you probably have a higher chance it kind of ebbs and flows, you know.
Shouldn't we invite one person from their team to be present on our meeting all the time? Because if they're consuming us. Yes.
Shankar has been on this call, actually. He's not always on this call, but he's aware of it. Yeah, so. And Swami is as well. So I think they're aware of our call. They don't just always attend, though. But they probably should have somebody to do so. And I can mention, I'll be attending the call right after this one, too. So, I can mention it there as well.
I think I'll attend it myself too. Yeah, the next call.
Yeah, and I think might not be a bad idea to. You can pretty much always get a few minutes to just give them. If you want to say I have an update on something, and it'll only take a few minutes, you can pretty much always at least do that. So for example, it's probably not a bad idea to describe some of this because it feels pretty important to just convey to them as well as the REST API. Okay, let's see. So I think we talked about this. We should definitely attend next week's TSC. Obviously, I'll be there, and whoever else can be there maybe should try to attend. And I think that's where maybe we'll officially announce this as a standalone thing.
Which day of the week is that meeting? Is that the Wednesday meeting?
Thursday meeting at 15:30 for us, Twan.
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday 15:30. Okay, thanks, Tony.
So I I think we'll just wait till that. And I mean, maybe before that meeting, just so that goes smoothly. Let me see. Maybe we should reach out to Catherine and put it on the agenda. Let me see if I can find. It's not easy to find that agenda sometimes. I think I thought I put a, oh wait, I know where I put the link. I know where I put the link here. Let me see. There's a link to one here. Okay. Okay, so 10:22, I think, is the next one. We can just put ourselves on the agenda, I feel. So let me see. Yeah, okay. PTL update, subcommittee update, use cases. Okay, so I think probably in this, the subcommittee update. Okay, let's see. Okay. Maybe, I don't know who presented by. We'll just put our sub, the three of us here. there may be other people here as well. Okay. Yeah, somebody saying something? Okay.
Is that subcommit this week in red? Is that the right text there?
This week in red, what do you mean? Where?
Over on the left-hand side.
Over on the left-hand side. Our name,
you've got... Go back, Jair. Subcommittee update and then in brackets, this week in red, ARC control loop lab modeling. What does that mean?
Oh, this is the architecture subcommittee, the control loop, you know, modeling subcommittee, security committee. These are just the various subcommittees in ONAP, right? The groups
okay, so,
in ONAP.
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure it out.
Like, you know, Chalker could say something here because he's the head of the architecture subcommittee, the modeling subcommittee led by Yang Shu and Deng Hui, the security subcommittee. And we fall into the use case subcommittee.
Use cases. Okay. I'm trying to, yeah, thanks.
That's why I
appreciate
use cases
it.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm catching up with you, Ben.
Yeah. So basically, there used to be like a WALA's use case subcommittee, essentially, but we kind of fit under this. And we also kind of fit into architecture as well. Now that it gets a little confusing. We were under the use case subcommittee. Now we're under the architecture subcommittee. So we kind of fit in under both, depending on when you came into ONAP. okay, but anyway, I think that's where we should fit. All right, and let me maybe copy this to here, like that. All right, and. We probably want to, at that point, also be able to give a quick update regarding our tools and such, and the repo creation, I guess.
Is that what we asked for?
No. This is just we've already did the asking. We got approval to undergo the vote. This should be just a.
Yeah,
no, we
still need to request a repo. There's a process around requesting a repo.
Yeah, but I don't know that we need to. We can just do a really quick, we've requested the repo or whatever, just a really quick status about some of these other next steps.
Ben, I'm not clear. Do we still need to request a repo? Is that part of the fact that we know?
Yes.
And who do we ask then? Who do we have?
Yeah.
But where do we start that process? That's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, that's a good question. I know there's a process.
Yeah.
But,
is it just a matter of the mail on the ONAP forum?
I think it's resources at ONAP, something like that. There's a specific email address that we need.
Yeah. Maybe we can search.
Request a new repository. Yeah, this is pretty recent as well, so.
Yep. Yeah, request FAQ. Yeah, so this looks. These are the repositories. Yeah. Maybe just take a look at this page and see from there.
Yeah, I'll start with that. Thanks.
If it gets somewhere, okay. All right.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, oh yeah, that's 2 days. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's CI jobs and things like that that need. I think it's not just the repo. So there's Jenkins and CI and stuff that needs to.
This looks like the actual repositories, though. This is an actual list of.
Who's responsible for them? Yeah, and so on and so, forth.
So clearly we need to get into this. Once we have a repository, we probably need to document it here or something. So anyway, we should. There's probably a process here to. Yep. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, this looks like it's a place to start. Okay, yep. And then we also need to make sure that there's a document repository for the RST files, which I think. should just be a set of files or directory within the repo once we create it. So
yeah, that's my understanding. That's the current process. So there's no separate repo anymore.
Right.
You need to follow the structure. So the structure in your size of your project. We've done some investigation on that already.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. So Jacqueline isn't here, I don't think, to talk about the model. Modeling update. She did give a quick update in the modeling subcommittee, I think, on it. And we did have a couple of minutes at the end. She was at the beginning of the DDF meeting and then she dropped. So I talked briefly at the DDF about the model and the two slides I added because we had a few minutes left over. Well, we had perfectly 5 minutes in the questions and answers, just like we planned. So we went over that because there weren't really any other questions. So, and the NN Network slicing team meets on Thursdays. We maybe should probably get in on that call too. I think that meets on Tuesdays as well. They have a modeling call on Tuesday and another one on Thursday, I believe. So maybe we should find out about that. Oh, there was another thing too. I don't know if you saw that, but let's see if I can find it. So in the list, they canceled a whole bunch of meetings, and I'm not sure if we were affected by that.
I think it was part of the.
They were trying to
move
clean
to the groups.io thing.
Yes, or exactly. What, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right, because what happened was I spoke up at the last TSC. I said I got a message about this link. I tried to go to the link, and I couldn't get in. And then Pamela at the TSC said, oh, that's because you still have the old meeting. And maybe that old meeting is this calendar. Let me see. Oops. What they might have cleaned up is this thing here. Let me see. I think this is no longer being used, I believe. I'm not sure, though.
Let's
see.
Yeah, so, look at the same one. This is only still populated from Wednesday. That's the problem I discovered a couple of weeks, months ago.
Yeah, they deleted it, and then so I'm now a little confused. So basically, you can post notifications here, and I'm not sure exactly where the new.
Yeah, but where's the actual calendar? Where can you actually see the calendar? I'm confused about that too.
Right.
Yeah, I think you have to log in to see some of this stuff now.
Oh yeah. Right. Good call. Let me see.
Because of that mess.
Let me see. So one of meetings maybe.
I know I had to subscribe to to something new quite recently.
So like I issued a message about the 5G use case team meeting. These are, I guess maybe I should issue a notification to about our meeting here, but that doesn't really, I don't think that really gets you on any kind of calendar per se. It's just the notification. I don't know where the new, maybe click on calendar here. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm looking at now the 5G OF use case is on that calendar, but it looks like this meeting is not on it.
Okay.
Ben, the thing is that when they introduced this password, now to log into the password, the old meetings are now not, you cannot access them.
The old meetings you can't
access. But they are still here.
Oh, I see. When they introduce passwords. Right. So, I feel like we should get ourselves on this calendar here, right? Let me see, subscribe to calendar, add event. I think I can, I'm a moderator for this, so I should be able to add an event here. Let me see.
Yes.
Okay. Just so people in the community are aware of our meeting, let me see, event name.
I don't see the Thursday meeting on this either.
Yeah. I mean, I think just a lot of people don't know about it. And you also have to be a moderator too. So I was...
There's a TC meeting at 7 a.m.
Start 10:16. Okay. Yep. Time zone, events repeat.
Oh, of course, a lot of meetings were canceled the last 3 days because of DDF.
Yeah, of course, and that's fine.
Weekly,
repeat every week on a Friday. Never ends, weekly on a Friday. Event location, event color, event location. That would be this meeting.
Zoom details.
Let me see. All right, organizer name. I don't know if I'll. Organizer email. Organizer phone. Event color. Let me see if there's a rhyme or reason to these colors here. My groups. That's weird. I'm logged into this thing, so subscription message, subgroups. I don't know. Let me just give it some random color here. So.
Looks like that most meetings went for the default color. I'm looking at the calendar here. Same color as you have now. If you want to stand out, you can pick another color.
Sure, let's do something different. Okay. No reminder set, add event and invite group. Invite group, what? Let me just add event. Update address. No. What the heck? All right, let's see, are we there now? Yeah, here we are, okay. That's weird that this doesn't show me that same thing. Oh, maybe I went to the wrong page here. There we go. Okay. All right, great. It looks like we're in. I think a lot of people, well, first of all, you have to be a moderator. So, I mean, not everybody's a moderator. So, you people aren't necessarily going to be there, but let me just see. Why are there so much more detail in some of these other ones? Please download and import the iCalendar. Okay. Huh. All right. Anyway, so we're there. Let me just copy this into the thing here. Okay, we're almost at time. Any other topics we'd like to add for next week? Do we know of things that we'd like to discuss or?
So we maybe postpone to discuss the OLF use case then, the SonOLF use case, Tony, what do you think?
Well, that's on next, isn't it? I mean, we don't really have time left. Oh, for next
week.
Yeah,
but specifically for ourselves, the integrations. Yeah.
And also,
oh, yeah, yeah, that would be good, yeah. Yeah.
And also, do we want to pick one of these topics, or they aren't ready, or? Upgrade a model, specify and configure CPS behavior, model discovery at runtime.
Yeah, I'm not going to get much time to work on this next week, but.
Okay. All right. Let's make that our main topic then next week, and we'll see. We can attend, or I'm going to attend, and hopefully some of you also will also attend the Sun call right after this one. Let me put it in the chat so you have it. This is where it's going.
I was going to show, assuming that the calendar that we just used is okay.
Yeah.
I hope to get in.
Yeah, but anyway, here's the actual link as well.
Okay, so cool.
Here's the actual link you can go to. All right. So thank you, everybody, for attending. And I will upload the recording and stuff from today's call right after this. All right. So thanks and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Bye.